Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
But I stopped enjoying it as soon as we got to the postgame, and all I heard about, instead of, we blew it in the third quarter, we need to be better than that, all I heard was this blown call, this blown call, this blown call, this blown call. All right. Again, I think the Warriors should be better than that. I think they should go high road when they feel like the refs are going in on them. Robin in San Francisco probably disagrees with that. Robin, the floor is yours. What's going on?
Can you hear me? Because I'm in the mission, and I hope I don't fade out. You know, there's so many things going through my head as I was listening. First, I just want to say to you, because you're one of my favorites, you do sound a little bit like my dad. I'm the oldest child, right?
Okay.
And so when my younger sisters would do something, you know, I would mollywop them. Okay. And
I did. Mollywop. I like that word, Robin. You're the only caller we have that throws out mollywop, and I look forward to it every time.
And I would get in trouble because I'm the oldest. You should know better. They're the youngest. Well, I don't want to hear that. Okay. So in that regard, I think you are being a little, I was the Texas said, yeah, I do think you're being a little hard because your expectations of them for being winners, being on top, being from the band, for whatever your reasoning is. Yeah, I kind of see that analogy to my dad and me being the oldest. So in that regard, yes. Secondly, yes, the Warriors blew that. I think that the Warriors, they looked a little fatigued mentally to me. And that's okay. They lost the game. I don't want to debate the calls, but I do want to say to you about Curry pushing off. Well, tell that to LeBron, who's been doing it for years. I'm sorry, I can't buy that. Okay, there were two bad calls, but here's the thing that drives me crazy more than anything, and I'll sum it up, and I sent in a text. I can't stand these narratives that we create for the Warriors. They're not engaged. Who says they're not? They are waiting for the playoffs. Well, who said that? They didn't say that. They're not a regular season team. These narratives drive me nuts. Kevin Durant even made a smart remark towards that in one of his post conferences. We're just waiting for the playoffs, right? Huh? Isn't that the reason? He was being sarcastic, and that's what he meant by that. It's ridiculous. I can't stand that. Drives me more crazy than anything. So just lighten up on the older kids, okay, Irv?
Okay, Robin. Can you tell me how old is your father?
My father is 85, and I am 58, and I can't say what he says in bad words, but he told me it's all BS.
All right, now I already feel a little bit self-conscious because I'm one of the older guys on the air here, and now you just compared me to an 85-year-old.
My dad's 85 years old, and do you know to this day, he still, when I tell him what one of my sisters did, and I'm not speaking to him, he says, you're the oldest, you should know better than that. I'm like, are you serious?
It's a beautiful thing being the youngest child. I'll tell you what, you get away with a lot.
I know it, so give the Warriors a break.
All right, Robin, thank you for the phone call. I appreciate it. That's Robin from San Francisco. She's in the mission. She's about to get molly-whopped herself, I think. I think that's a good thing when you get molly-whopped in the mission, right? Is that the same thing as being hammered, molly-whopped? I don't know. It can be whatever you want it to be. Okay, I'm looking at a couple of hours ago before we got on, and there are some funny texts here. One of them clearly, Kolsky and Bonte were talking about it while they're at the Steph Curry pop-up shop in Oakland. And one of them said that Harden just took a free throw for the Kevin Durant foul. Yeah, that probably did happen. Why can't Steph get all the calls that James Harden gets? I'm kind of tired of that narrative, too. Look, I'm not saying that watching James Harden doesn't drive me bananas. It does. But I would rather Steph not be a flopper and not get calls than be a flopper like Harden and get the calls Harden gets. Call me crazy. Harden is the human Pez dispenser. Every time he throws his head back, he gets a foul call and a big piece of candy comes out of his neck. And a little giant five-year-old with a pituitary gland problem eats that giant candy, and that's all she wrote. You know what? You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1, KGMZ San Francisco, radio.com sports station. You want to stay with the Warriors? You want to move on to Major League Baseball. That's right, Major League Baseball. The Major League Baseball teams in the area, they played five games so far. Wait, four, five, six. Six games, or six games. They've won one of them.
Adios, pelota!
You know what? I just want to wet your whistle with that Major League Baseball because I never feel quite right, and I'm going to have to get over this at some point if I want to make a go at this radio thing at 85 years old that I am. I'm going to have to figure out how to be comfortable with in-segment transitions. I'm just not there yet. So the next segment comes at 12 after the hour. That's when I'd like to go to baseball. So I want to wrap this up. I want to wrap this Warrior stuff up. I want to give everybody the opportunity to say exactly how they felt about last night, whether or not. Look, the most puzzling thing about so far today is that I sound spoiled. I thought I was going to sound the opposite of spoiled, and I thought I was railing against Warriors fans and players who sound spoiled. But hey, I could be wrong. That's fine. 408 says, the media asked the players about the refs. That's why they were talking about it. Really? You don't think it would have come up if the media didn't ask about it? Come on. Plus, you know they're going to ask about it. All right, I want to get to some of the sound. So, Steph Curry, he's normally the guy who's most likely to take the high road, right? That's why we all love Steph. He's relatable. He almost never misspeaks. I mean, between he and Steve Kerr, the amount of words that come out of their mouth over the course of a season, and the amount of words that could be construed as ill-conceived or poorly timed or poorly delivered, it's astounding how few missteps they make. There's nothing, very little, not to love about Steph Curry. And the reason I pause there is because I am well aware that fans of other teams that aren't called the Warriors might not like Steph's celebrating. I look at it as that's just fun. He's joyous. He's happy. He's free. But I could see where it would drive some other teams nuts. I get that. But by and large, Steph always takes the high road. You tell me, does he take the high road in this clip?
Been back there looking at those calls over and over and over again and still don't understand either one of them. But KD, 4-point play, which puts pressure on them to, you know, with 4 seconds left, to have to get a bucket. And at the end of the game, nobody wants to see a game end like that with a crazy pass that had no chance of being caught and a soft foul that should never have been called to decide the game like that. Guys out there fighting their ass off to play and compete and win the game by playing basketball. So it's just a tough way to go out.
Yeah, well, that right there is an example of Steph being, like, that's as close to absolutely seething as you'll ever get Steph Curry. The fact that he said asses, that's not really swearing, right? Certainly not this day and age. But it is for Steph Curry, and I'm going to guess his mom may have texted him after that because she pays attention to such things. But Steph was chapped. I get it. It's an emotional game. But he didn't exactly take the high road there. He fell victim to the emotions of the moment. And that's okay. That's okay. The only thing I wasn't okay with at the end of the game that had anything to do with Steph was the way they seemed to be mocking the referee after Steph made that shot. I just thought, come on, guys. You don't need to go there. Let's go to Kevin Durant. He was definitely not going high road.
Which call is worse, in your opinion?
You trying to get me fined? I'm not trying to get fined.
Did Cat have any chance to catch the ball at the end?
I seen the play. I want to keep my money because they gave me two texts. Let me just stop talking about officiating, but you seen the play.
High road, high road, high road, high road. Low road. Oh, fine, 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 fine. KD, he did his best. He tried not to take the bait. But ultimately, everybody took the bait. Everyone's going to get fined, and that's okay. Again, it's just a little bit unseemly for me. Here's Kevin Durant on this is good sarcasm from KD.
I mean, because if you look at the play, was it Diop who was guarding me? He lost me for a quick second, and when I caught the ball, I knew they were going to foul, and I got it up quick. And he had two hands on me as I was going into my shot. And Morant, this is his name. He was he was the best player on the floor tonight. He made sure that, you know, he's so good with his whistle that he knew they were going to foul me, and he caught it right before I shot the ball. So, you know, he's one of the greatest refs of all time.
One of the greatest refs of all time. That was that's beautiful. Is that Kawhi? That's the only time I've heard him laugh. I've never actually heard him laugh other than our drop. I'm wondering if that's like his everyday laugh or we just caught him in a bad moment. Chilton Autobody text line. Wow, you sound all of 39. Right below that. Okay, now I understand. One came in before the other. The first one is, you're not really 85, are you? Because you sound all of 39. Well, actually, the second one was a compliment because I sound 11 years younger than I actually am. I'm 50 years old. I'm a man. I'm 50. The media asked, oh, we already did that. Oh, you're right. The refs are human, but so are the players, and the refs effed this one up. Okay. I get that. We're going to put this to bed with this one. And it's Steve Kerr. And again, Steve Kerr never, ever, ever misspeaks, in my opinion. And I don't think he misspoke here. I hope we have the entire clip because as I was listening to it the first time, this was yesterday after the game on TV, I'm thinking, well done, well done, well done. He's avoiding a fine, avoiding a fine, avoiding a fine. And the very last thing he says slaps him with a fine. So here, let's listen to Steve Kerr on the Kevin Durant waved off 4-point play.
I think it was before the shot. I just watched the replay. He caught and he shot, and it's a 4-point play. I mean, I don't know what else to say. Kind of mind-boggling. Guy catch, you catch, and you go up for a shot, you get fouled. In any league, that's a good bucket and a free throw. Any league, not just the NBA.
You know what? I've got to take issue with one piece of that. Third graders in CYO basketball, even though they're playing on a court with a three-point line, they don't get awarded 3 points for making a three-pointer. Doesn't that seem backwards to you? This is apropos of nothing. It's got nothing to do with last night's Warriors game. But when a third grader hits a three, shouldn't he get, or she, get 3 points? Nope, it's only a two in third grade CYO. Why is that? It makes no sense to me. We're going to be talking plenty of baseball today. And look, it's 1 week, less than a week. Now, do I expect the Giants to be appreciably better than they are, than they've shown us? No, not really. What's the sad thing is their formula has always been, or at least it was during their three world championships, pitch your butts off, play good D, and get some timely hitting. Well, it's starting to look like, no, it's not starting to look like, it looks like, they could pitch their ass off all year and still be a sub-500 club because they just don't look like they're going to be able to put any runs up. And I keep hearing this 52-20 record they had last year when they scored 4 runs. I was shocked that they scored 4 runs or more in 70-plus games. But are you going to take these 2 losses and say, yeah, see, I knew they were going to be horrible. I'm going to wash my hands of Giants baseball for this year. Well, if that's what you're doing, that's what we call a fair-weathered fan. But how do you keep yourself sane? Because I happen to believe there aren't a ton of Fairweather fans out there. Yeah, you're going to get them when you get world championships. You're absolutely going to get them. But there's far more fans that are willing to ride the highs, the lows, to stick with your team. So one of my questions to Giants fans is, how are you going to stay sane? Let's assume that what we all think is going to happen is going to happen. How do you stay sane through that? How do you stay connected to the team? How do you not give up on the team? Seriously, I'm asking you. I need your help. I need your help on this one. I'm not real good at this. Fortunately, I'm a fan of both teams in the Bay Area. No, I don't wear the split hat, but I do love me some A's. And I felt like, well, A's are going to be good this year, so at least we get 50% good baseball. Well, the A's haven't been good so far this year. They're the worst team ever. Their bullpen stinks. They blew a lead last night. Oh, God, we're all going to die. No, we're not. So, I'd like to hear from Giants fans in particular. How are you going to stay sane this summer in the face of what you think you're about to see? Or do you think maybe we're all jumping the gun on this? That's certainly possible, too. Bottom line, the 707... Richard in the 707. This entire conversation, exactly why baseball is better than basketball. And the 443, where's the 443? Rick would say that's Uranus or Mars or something else. CYO Youth on East Coast gives them the 3. Well, that's good to know. So the young lass in Schenectady who's a third grader and drills a 24-footer, she gets the 3 points that she deserves. I'm Mike Lervin, Major League Baseball next. Plenty of Giants, plenty of A's, and plenty of Paul Goldschmidt still hitting homers. I'm Mike Lervin, 95.7 The Game.
Now back. 95.7 The Game.
I ask again, what the hell is happening to the music on this program? Frightening that I understand that I know this is Hall & Oates, Private Eyes, because this is like right in my high school wheelhouse, right? Is that what you guys are trying to do? Like, make me feel like a high school junior with a terrible perm again? Because that was me as a junior in high school. I did have a terrible perm, and there is photographic evidence that I will share at some point. Before we get to our first baseball guest of the program, I just want to read a little something that might bring a smile to some Giants fans' faces. This is a story. It's a wire story from ESPN, and I'm just going to give you the first two paragraphs. The Seattle Mariners have put their closer, right-hander Hunter Strickland, on the 10-day injured list because of a right lat strain. Second graph. Strickland gave up a winning 3-run home run to Boston pinch hitter Mitch Moreland in the top of the 9th inning Friday night. See, so some things you can count on in this life. There's life, death, taxes, and Hunter Strickland giving up late-game homers and then being unavailable for a while after giving up those homers. So you can count on that. You can also count on Jessica Kleinschmidt giving you good baseball talk. She is a content producer at NBC Sports Bay Area. She's a baseball analyst, and she joins us now. Jessica, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing? I'm curious about this perm.
Yeah, it's... You don't want to think about it very often.
Okay.
I will put it out on my, my Twitter handle is Big Herb Sports. I will put it out by the end of the day, and I will tag you on it just so that you know I'm thinking of you and I'm coming clean with my very, very bad perm.
I really appreciate that. That's going to make my day.
You get what you pay for in perms, Jessica, because my brother paid $100 and he got the sweet surfer perm that I wanted. I paid $25 and I got Little Orphan Michael. That's what I got.
You got a $25 perm is what you got.
Exactly. I may have gotten a $10 perm. It was that bad.
Yeah.
All right, Jessica, give me your initial thoughts on the first 48 hours of the San Francisco Giants baseball season?
Unfortunately, I'm not too surprised on the first, couple days of the Giants. I think as fans, they understood what was going into it. It's just the pitching. The team needs pitching, and they need better outfielders. And some of these moves that are being made are a lot of head scratchers. I've been watching Farhan Zaidi over the years, so I'm not too surprised at what he's doing. But with an organization like that, it's a little interesting. I figured Madison Bumgarner was going to be good in his debut, and he was solid. But we knew the velocity wasn't really going to be there. And I figured he's going to be concentrating on those specialty pitches, but he's not like a specialty pitch kind of guy necessarily. So that's been kind of interesting to see what he's going to do as the years go by. But unfortunately, I'm not too surprised about how the Giants were doing, but not scoring any runs definitely surprised me. They're not putting any runs on the board. So that was certainly something that I am not used to. So that's pretty much my overall. My expectations weren't that high.
Yeah, and I don't think anybody had real high expectations. The voice you hear is that of Jessica Kleinschmidt. She is a content producer at NBC Sports Bay Area. She's a baseball analyst. You can follow her on Twitter at Kleinschmidt JD. I'm going to spell the last name for you. Kleinschmidt, and then you get capital JD after that. In fact, Twitter will probably let you get away with lowercase JD in that case. Let's talk about the two good things that did happen on opening day, and actually in the second day too, because the first run the Giants scored came off the bat of the third baseman who basically gave them almost nothing last year. And if there's ever somebody who is going to be on the trading block, if he can just do a little bit, it's Evan Longoria. You mentioned Madison Bumgarner. We don't know if he's going to be on the trade block. A lot of us suspect he's going to be. So at least you had those two guys. If you're going to sell high, good start for those two gentlemen.
Yeah, but I don't think Evan Longoria is that big of a name anymore. I felt like he should have been on the Giants years ago. That's my personal opinion. But at the same time, I did see Evan Longoria at spring training. He looks like he's in really good shape. Obviously, we saw him hit that home run, so he's working. Something he was working on is apparently redundantly, like I said, working for him. But he looked like he was in really good shape. But I don't think he'd be a big name as far as trade goes. That big name is still going to be Madison Bumgarner, and he's certainly going to be that big trade talker. And he wants to stay with the Giants, but also recently talking to him that I've noticed, he's kind of playing it cool with the PR stunt type of stuff, saying, I don't want to comment. Zaidi said, I don't want to comment publicly. So that's interesting in that dynamic. But I just don't see why he would want to stay with the team if they're in this middle of rebuilding, knowing how old he is. He doesn't have that many years left to play, especially for somebody of his caliber. He's going to probably want to go to a team that he doesn't have to try that hard in order to win a World Series or win something. So that's something I've been thinking about. But I don't think Longoria would be that big of a name on the trading block, unless, of course, he comes out and continuously has a season like he did in this last game. But I think it's more towards Mad Bum.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you in that case. But here's the thing with Evan Longoria, if you can get out from under the bulk of that contract, that's why it's something significant in terms of him getting off to a good start. And maybe, look, he is not, I agree with you 100%. He's the type of guy that the Giants could have used several years ago when he actually was a great player. I don't think he's a great player anymore. I think some teams, if they see him being productive early in the season, they might look at him as he's a potential difference maker. You know, one of those savvy veteran pickups that you make late in the summer. Then if you can get out from under that contract, I think that would be a win for the Giants no matter what.
Yeah, I agree. Obviously, the monetary things, certainly. But it's weird because he's one of those names where he's a big name, but like he's not with at a certain – it's a weird dynamic. Obviously, when he was with the Rays, people would have spent out the butt to have him.
Right.
But now that he's with the Giants and kind of dying out, unfortunately, it's going to go down to a monetary issue, which breaks my heart. I love the guy. I think he's so good for the game. Old soul, but like still kind of youthful in his own way. But it would come down to a monetary issue. But it's weird. And to see names like that on a trade block, that like you know, they want, I know Evan loves the area, and I definitely know Madison Bumgarner loves playing for the Giants. So it just kind of breaks my heart from that romantic side, of course.
Yeah, no doubt. It's a different day and age, absolutely. And Evan Longoria, he was, look, when the Giants acquired McCutchen and Longoria, it was, to me, that was your last crack at it, because you basically took the franchise player from two different franchises. And while, they were on their downside, it wasn't, you know, it wasn't a steep hill that they were going down. It had just started to slope down. And we saw that McCutchen, he's still got some good ball in him. Longoria's still got some good ball in him. But they're not franchise guys with the Giants. The only franchise players we really have on these Giants are Madison Bumgarner and Buster Posey. And neither of them have been Madison Bumgarner and Buster Posey for a couple years now.
Yeah, and obviously we're still, it's kind of like a, we're constantly talking about Buster Posey's hip. He feels good. If Buster Posey can even be, you know, three-fourths of the Buster Posey that we're used to, I think he could, you know, still be very solid. But you're right. Like, when we think about Evan Longoria and we think about Andrew McCutchen, we're not thinking about the Giants. I know McCutchen was barely there, but he would have made an impact, not just playing-wise, but just, like, from a fun, different, useful perspective. Yeah. And I think the Giants really need that as well. That's why I was so high on trying to get Bryce Harper, not necessarily because that would be an amazing bat to have. We all know what his numbers are at Oracle Park, but to know he could bring so much spice to an organization that's kind of boring, to be honest, you know, and we kind of, I wanted that from that aspect. But losing McCutchen, I know he wasn't there for long, certainly was when we kind of stop and think, well, something is bound to happen. And I hate the term rebuilding, especially when it comes to the Giants, but that's what they're doing.
Yeah, and Jessica, congratulations on being the first member of the media that I've heard drop Oracle Park without any hesitation whatsoever. Well done.
I have to do it because it's been ingrained in my brain, and it's just like, if I don't say it, it's going to be weird.
Do you get drilled on that for like the first half hour at work every day?
Well, kind of. It's mainly because we covered the fact that they changed the name, and even in my articles, I would cross out AT&T and write Oracle. My boss is cool with it because people are used to it. But the only thing I don't like is like talking about the stats. Like, how did this guy perform at Oracle? Well, he hasn't yet. So that kind of technically is not right. But then how do you do that? You know, that's difficult for me. That's where it's weird.
That's one way to hide somebody who has like just kind of gloss over the fact that they stink at down at that ballpark, whatever it's being called. You can just say, well, they don't have any numbers at Oracle Park.
Like, Sonny Gray has a 0.00 ERA at now.
There you go. He's got a non-existent. You know, something that you said, Jessica, and I know it pains you to say it, but you said they're kind of a boring team right now. So one of the questions that I've posed to the audience, and I haven't started taking their answers yet, but look, I know that there are fair weather fans whenever there are championships won. That's part of being a sports fan. But I also know there's a ton of diehard Giants fans out there that aren't going to give up on the Giants. I want to know what they're going to do to keep themselves sane if this season pans out the way a lot of us think it will. Do you have any advice for them? Do you have any plan of your own? How are you going to stay sane as a baseball fan, Jessica?
So for me, I come from a background where I worked for a blog for MLB.com where we were forced to show people that baseball is fun. I'll find a reason for you to follow a team if you are not, if you're over the fact that, you know, this team may go 0-162. I have no problem. I will find a reason for you to make this team fun or the sport fun. That to me personally is not a difficult job to do. However, I know there's a lot of fans who are told that baseball is boring, so they're going to believe it. But for this team in particular, there's a lot of young guys to pay attention to. And Farhan Zaidi himself said, pay attention to these young guys because that's going to be part of the success, which means I want to go and check out these prospects. And there's obviously they're going to be more open toward the media. They don't have that big league kind of ego yet. They're going to want to talk to us more. Every young guy has a story, and that's what's interesting too. So if you want to learn about these guys, these up-and-comers, the next Joey Barts, if you will, or when Buster Posey was just a young buck kind of rising through the ranks as well, that's important for me personally to make sure that these guys are being looked at because they're the future of the game. And, you know, these guys are being recruited in utero, you know, so it's just they're so young and, you know, it's just part of the game now. But there's always something to look for. And if not, I have no problem, you know, kind of poking at the players like, give me something to work with, man. Like, I know you're in a bad mood, but how can I help you? Like, at spring training, I made Bruce Bochy laugh, and I felt like I could retire at that moment. Like, that was a pretty awesome moment. So I like to show people that there are other reasons than just a wins and loss thing. Obviously, like you said, that's important for sports because people bank on that. There's always a story. There's always a feel-good moment, whether it could be a fan, too, a fan there. Like, I have no problem trying to push the fact that baseball is an enjoyable and entertaining sport.
Yeah, I love that approach. It's the one that I take as well. Look, as much as we get inundated with the numbers, and now that there's, you know, the metrics get more advanced all the time, you just get bombarded with stats. It's still people playing a game. It's still for the most part, it's adults trying to, you know, squeeze joy out of a children's pastime. And I love that you take that approach to it. Now, you said that you work for MLB.com. I also have MLB.com. In my past, when did you work for him? What'd you do?
I worked for Cut 4. I was there for about a year and a half, and I just got the job at NBC in November. So it's still somewhat new to me, and to only cover two teams has been interesting. But that's another part of that I love about the challenge is I know you're there playing against the Giants, but look, hey, here's the pitcher they're going up against, and here's a fun little chicken nugget about them or how they perform at the field. I like stats to that aspect. Of course, at a ballpark like Oracle, where nobody can hit, when the guys can hit, it's always fun to watch. Obviously, that's why bringing Gerardo Parra onto the team is certainly because the guy can rake at Oracle, and it's amazing. So stuff like that, like I like the challenge of that. And I don't know if not everybody's going to be as romantic about the sport as I am, but I love trying to make sure that they pay attention to something other than just a stat, a wins and loss record. There's probably a really cool fan that you need to learn about, or somebody's mom watching their kid get bumped up for the first time. Like, that's amazing. Stuff like that.
And that's kind of stuff that you did at Take 4. I love that part of the site. So you worked for Din Man out there.
I did. He's no longer with the company, of course.
But yeah, he's a good friend of mine. He's the one who hired me back in 2001. I covered the A's for 9 years for Din and MLB.com. And then I went to work right where you are right now, except it was then CSN Bay Area. So now we're on the radio together. It's all come full circle. Jessica, I'm sure we'll be talking a number of times between now and the end of the season. Keep that positive outlook. Keep Giants fans sane this summer. That's your one goal.
Oh, is that all? I got it.
That's it.
That's fine. Easy.
All right, Jessica, thank you for your time. I appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
You too. Thanks so much.
All right, that's Jessica Kleinschmidt. You can follow her on Twitter at Kleinschmidt. JD, she's a content producer at NBC Sports Bay Area Baseball Analyst. That was an enlightening conversation. I love that approach because, look, that is how you're going to be able to keep yourself sane if you're a Giants fan. If all you're going to get wrapped up in is wins and losses and stats, you're going to have a miserable summer. You really are. But one way you can keep yourself engaged, keep yourself sane, is maybe this is the year, and maybe you've been promising yourself to do this for a number of years, but you never quite got around to it. I know a ton of people like this. I used to be like this. I'd say, well, this is the year I'm going to pay more attention to the minor leagues. I want to know who these guys are that are coming up. Whether they're any good or not, doesn't matter. They're not on the big league team. They're not losing games in Giants uniforms. So they're slightly ahead of the game as it is right now. Back when I worked at the other station, I did Giants pre and post right up to where they got good again, which means when they were real bad. At the end of the Barry Bonds era, when the only reason to go there was to watch him hit home runs. And look, that was plenty of reason enough for me. Tell you what, that was fantastic. Wouldn't trade that for the world. But in terms of being a fan of a baseball team, that wasn't a baseball team. That was one guy. And that's all you dealt with there. You got one guy, and we either celebrated him or were bummed that he didn't hit a bomb. Well, I had to figure out a way to keep the fans' attention. And the team on the big league level was so bad that I made a focus of my pregame show every day. Now, it was only on weekends, but it was, let's talk about who's coming up. Let's talk about guys that you've never heard of. And let's highlight the fact that this guy you've never heard of is hitting .420 over the past 15 games in, where was it? Where are the Flying Squirrels? The Richmond Flying Squirrels. Fantastic hat, by the way. one of my few minor league hats, and it was the first one I bought, literally a flying squirrel in the hat. How can you go wrong there? And when you got a flying squirrel hitting 420 over the past 15 games, that's fun, right? Well, every year since then, I've told myself, all right, that was fun. So let's get a little bit more into minor league baseball this year. And it didn't happen. I got distracted by what was going on in the A's playoff run. Or I got distracted by the Giants winning 3 world titles. Or I got distracted by who knows. It's hard to commit to minor league teams. But you know what? Now, if you're ever going to do it, now is the time to do it. Because now you get more information than you could ever want on your minor league players. And that's where the stories are. When you've got a bad team at the big league level, the stories, the human stories that Jessica was just talking about, that's where it's at. Because you get so caught up in wins and losses at the big league level that you don't really care about the human story. It's like if I was covering the Giants last year, you might have gotten sick of me writing about Brandon Crawford. Oh, why would you write about Brandon Crawford so much? He had a terrible year. Well, yeah, but why did he have a terrible year? What was he dealing with? One of the things I always like to do as a writer is remind everyone these guys are human. They're not trying to suck. In fact, they don't suck. If you make it to MLB, if you make it to the NFL, if you make it to the NBA, MLS for crying out loud, you're pretty damn good at what you do. You're one of the better people on the planet at what you do, in fact. And how many people get to say that? But at the big league level, if you're not helping your team win, you're a bum. You don't see many people writing about bums in the minor leagues. Because what is the minor leagues all about? It's all about ascending, right? You're going up, you're going up, you're going up. Rarely does a prospect, and I don't know that you could even call him a prospect anymore, but do you get demoted more than twice in a year without being out of baseball? No. There's not a lot of descension in baseball. You get demoted twice, you're done. Okay, so you get sent down to AAA. Are they even going to send you down to AA from AAA or to single A from AA? Probably not going to happen. They're thinking, oh, God, if we got to do this, if we got to clear him of 2 levels, we'll just cut him loose. So minor leagues are about ascension. It's about guys on the way up. That's why one of the ways I would recommend that you keep yourself sane is checking in on the Giants or the A's minor league systems. Pay a little bit more attention to them than you might normally. Probably won't need to do that in Oakland because I do think the Oakland A's are going to be a good team. Haven't gotten off to a great start, but I think they're going to be fine. They were too good last year. They've got too many good players on their roster, and they're too smart at what they do. They'll be fine. There'll be highs. There'll be lows. Now, will the Giants have almost all lows? I don't know. I'm not going to look at 2 games, and because they went so imperfectly the way we figured they would go, I mean, how perfect was it that they were one inning away from being shut out for the first 2 games for the first time in franchise history? This is about what you, if you are a worst case scenario guy or gal, that's what you're looking for in the first 2 games, right? You would have said that's perfect. It's exactly what I expected. But if you're going to go into every game expecting your team to get shut out, you are going to be miserable. Like, by tax day. Goodbye, Nash. 12-year-old Nash is taking his leave. He's in on an off day. And yes, he gets younger every single time I mention his age. We've got Gabe. We've got Spadoni. They're irritating me with their musical selections. We're going to see if it continues. I think at some point they're going to get bored with it. So I'm going to do what my older brothers did to me. Now, again, I am a younger brother, the youngest, and if you're a youngest like me, you know that when you figure out something that gets the goat of your older brothers or sisters, you jump on And you keep going there. You keep going there. You keep going there. You wear them out with it, right? Unless you don't get a reaction from them. So I'm going to put this to the test with you, Gabe, with you, Spadoni. I'm going to ignore your musical, what do I call it? Your musical, Gabe, you're a wordsmith. Your musical, is it taunting? Is it provoking? What do we got?
Yeah, you were going for the negative connotation of me, you know, needling you.
Yes, there you go.
So you can take that. I was just going to say my musical proclivities in general.
Okay, nah, that's not the word I was looking for. Turns out you're not a wordsmith.
Haters.
Oh, Steinmetz. I would have loved to hear Steinmetz. That's what I should have done. You know what? How come on Xfinity? Somebody help me out, text line. I can't get 95.7 The Game on my TV anymore. I used to just be able to punch in 957, and it wasn't channel 957, but it would give me the channel that I could listen to 957. And now it doesn't give me that option anymore. And the reason I want to hear Steinmetz on this, on last night's Warriors game, is because his father, I believe, was a referee. And Matt will defend referees to no end. He does not want you blaming referees. That's why I was kind of pumped up. Last night, I knew I was going to be able to hear Steinmetz in the morning, but then I wasn't able to hear him in the morning because normally I'm driving in when he's on the air. And today I got the 4 to 8 p.m. shift, which means we are together for another, we're together for another 2 hours and 20 minutes or so, and it's going to be a magical 2 hours and 20 minutes. What I have not heard is how are you going to make sure that your summer of baseball is magical? As a Giants fan, seriously, you know what's about to happen. How are you going to stay sane? 888-957-9570. Chip Not a Body text line, 95795. We got a couple great texts I'm going to read for you in just a little bit. Give us your phone calls. Give us your thoughts. Give us your hopes. Give us your dreams. Michael Irvin, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
You see, this doesn't bother me because this is Forever Young, right? Also, part of a Jay-Z song that I quite enjoy. So I'm just going to consider this a Jay-Z song. So you failed there. You're actually in my wheelhouse with this. But you're not going to stop it, are you? You're probably going to turn it up a little bit higher. All right. The little brothers always win. Okay, seriously, I'm going to start swearing on air, so you got to hit the dump button, and we don't hear anything, okay? F this, F that. You're a B. You know, earlier, I'm going to take you behind the curtain in the opening segment, during which I made clear my displeasure with the post-game discourse around the Warriors-Timberwolves game last night. I just felt like, I don't know, never a big fan of teams, especially far superior teams, blaming refs for a loss. And I know there are bad calls. There's always bad calls. There's always blame to be given. If you want to go that route, or you could just say we shouldn't have lost a 19-point lead in the second half to a bad team. But they did. So I was talking about that, and then I see on the board with which the other side of the glass communicates with this side of the glass, and it said, maybe a little less bitch. And I thought, okay, is he calling me one? Or am I using that word too frequently, or am I bitching too often or too vociferously? You like that? Turns out he just said he felt like I was using the word too frequently, like the Warriors were bitching, the Warriors fans were bitching. Bitch, 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 bitch. And he said, I'm just concerned about the sensitivity of our listener. And I said, oh, yeah, the ever-sensitive sports talk radio Saturday at 550 listener. Those sensitive souls. Yep. Bitch, 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 bitch. Is boss listening? Now, when I get a text from the boss saying, maybe a little less bitch, then I'll say, yeah, a lot less bitch. I'll stop right then. In fact, I'm going to stop now. let's see. Berlin is bad for ball. I just got a text. Somebody else who's a fossil like me thought one of your previous musical selections was Berlin. And clearly a friend of Herb's. Can we do that? F-O-U? I want to get hats made. Friends of Herb. That's a little bit full of myself, isn't it? Anyway, it's my friend Boyd. He says Berlin is bad for ball. Derek Papa chiming in. Derek Papa is the only person from 95.7 The Game who can speak with certainty and accuracy about how annoying I am to watch a Warriors basketball game with.
Oh, man.
It takes me a long time. And I dialed it way back with Derek because I know 5 hours, it should not take you 5 hours to watch a Warrior game. But it might with me between dinner breaks, bathroom breaks. You know, you got stuff going on. But the real reason it takes forever to watch a game with me is because I'm always rewinding and replaying and slow-mo-ing and everything. Derek Papa, bless his heart, came, took me up on it once. I'd just gotten released from the hospital, so he probably felt bad for me. And he was living in Livermore, so it wasn't all that far out of his way. And he came and he watched a game with me. And my favorite line from that story is, here's a weird thing that I asked him to do, but he did it. I left to go get us snacks, food for the game. And I knew that there was a chance he would get there before I was done with my shopping trip. So I left my door unlocked and I told him, just walk right in. He'd never been to my place before. That would be kind of a weird thing, right? Walking into somebody's house, they're not there, you've never been there before. But that wasn't the best part. The best part was when I got him on the phone, I said, hey, I'm at the store, what do you want? And he said, I don't know, goldfish? And I'm like, goldfish? What are you, five? But that's what he wanted, and that's what he ate. He's never come back for another Warriors game
at
my place. He just hasn't, and I don't blame him. But he had a good idea related to Warriors basketball that I will give him credit for once we do that. 925, very well done. They text to us on the Chilton Autobody text line, 95795. Quit your bitching. Oh, I see what you did there. You just got me to say it again, didn't you? You know what? You know how many calls I've gotten? You know how many texts I've gotten from people saying, here's how you stay sane in the face of another piss-poor Giants season. Here's how you do it. You don't have to give up on them, but here's what you do have to do. I've gotten none of those texts. I've gotten none of those calls. So apparently, not a lot of people out there have a lot of idea about what to do. How about this? This is something that you haven't seen before. More than likely. I mean, you've never, first off, we're in an era of baseball that we've never seen before. It's ridiculous. It really is. I mean, if I hear exit velocity and launch angle, I'm already done with it. And it's only been in vogue for a couple of years, but it's just been worn out. I think it was when, what was it? It was the Astros World Championship. That was when launch angle and exit velocity were peaking. And I feel like maybe there's been some blowback and it's dying down a little bit. But my point is, there's a lot we've never seen before. I mean, 2 years ago, and I think it was topped last year, but I don't want to say for sure unless I'm sure, and I'm not, without checking. So I will check during the next chance I get. Somebody says I love goldfish. Oh, and Gabe responds to them with, oh, yeah? Then why don't you marry them, in all caps? That's what you get when you're texting in to Sports Talk Radio on a Saturday. You just might get a young producer feeling frisky in throwing out. Look, he's taking the little brother thing like to the extreme, right? That's something a little brother would say. Why don't you marry him? Thank you, Kawhi.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.